Let's see how it moves forward.
So, reading excerpt number 33, what is the difference between the Gate of Tears and the rest of the gates? A person must pray first in order to know what he really needs. Then, he's notified from above that he does not need luxuries. But, as the Zohar says about the verse, or make his sin known to him, the Creator makes him know the sin. At that time, he knows on what he needs to repent, meaning to restore what he's lacking. It follows that when a person knows that he's wicked, as in the wicked in their lives are called dead, when he has come to realize that the fact that he is placed under the control of the will to receive separates him from the life of lives, he knows about this and wants to repent. That is, he wants to be given help from above so he can emerge from self-love and be able to love the Creator with all his heart. Thus, he feels that he's wicked, since where he should love the Creator, he loves himself. It follows that his knocks, we understand that he does what he can to make the Creator bring him closer and take him out of the control of his own evil. This is called real tears. This is the meaning of what we explained, open a gate for us. When a gate is locked, that is, since he sees that all the gates are closed, he begins to knock. It follows that at the time of the locking of the gate, when he has already prayed and was notified the reason for the sin, he begins to shed the real tears, meaning at that time, he simply wants to be a Jew. At that time, his knocks are regarded as tears, and this is the meaning of who opens a gate to those who knock in repentance.
Excerpt number 34,
Rabash. Letter 14. One is rewarded with everything only by overcoming called strength, and each and every strength that a person elicits joins into a great amount. That is, even if a person overcomes once and gets an alien thought and says, but I already know from experience that soon I will not have this desire for the work. So what will I get now if I overcome it a little? At that time, he must reply that many pennies join into a great amount, meaning to the general account, whether to the root of his soul or to the public. Perhaps this is the meaning of the gates of tears were not locked. Share, gates, comes from the words saot, hair, or storms, which is overcoming. Tears comes from the word tearing, meaning that there is a mixture with other desires, and only in the middle of the desire there is a brief moment of a desire to overcome toward love and fear of heaven. Not locked, but rather that moment joins into a great amount. When the amount is full, the person begins to feel the spiritual clothing. This is the meaning of the importance of tears, meaning that even if he is in the lowest state and has base desires, but still has the strength to overcome, meaning that from the point in his heart he yearns and craves the Creator, then that force is very important. Thus, even when a person is in exile, when his point in the heart is placed under other governances called divinity, divinity in exile. For that person, for one moment, he overcomes and sanctifies the Creator. And even though he's already certain because of all his experiences that afterwards he will fall again, it is still very important that a person can say the truth openly. This is similar to a person standing among criminals who are swearing and cursing the work of the Creator. And among them, there are some who lecture eloquently and let you understand that there is no point to serving the Creator. But still, there is someone there who cannot explain the value and the essence of the work so well. But he can make a few objections, meaning that he utters protests that what they're saying is not true. It's good that he disagrees, even though he is not as eloquent as the swears. This is called the Gates of Tears, and it is called many pennies join into a great amount. And then one turns to the light.
We will read the article in Shamati, 159, and it came to pass in the course of those many days. This is from Shamati, in English, the big book of Shamati, page 314, article 159. And it came to pass in the course of those many days that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning. This means that they suffered so much that they could not bear it any longer. And they so pleaded with prayer that their cry came up to God. But we can see that they were saying, would that we had, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full. And they also said, we remember the fish which we were want to eat in Egypt for naught, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. The thing is that, indeed, they were very fond of the work in Egypt. This is the meaning of, but mingled themselves with the nations and learned their works. It means that if Israel are under the dominion of a certain nation, that nation controls them and they cannot retire from their dominion. Thus they tasted sufficient flavor in that work and could not be redeemed. So what did the Creator do? The king of Egypt died, meaning that they had lost this servitude. Thus they could no longer work. They understood that if there is no perfection of the mochin, the servitude is also incomplete. Hence, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. The work means that they did not suffice for the work, that they had no liveliness in the work. This is the meaning of the king of Egypt died, that all the dominations of the king of Egypt, which he was providing for and nourishing, had died. This is why they had room for prayer. And they were immediately salvaged. And afterwards, when they walked in the desert and came to a state of katnut, they craved the servitude that they had prior to the death of the king of Egypt.
נמשיך לקטע מספר 35 תוך שמעתי מאמר סמכת קשר האדם אל
We will continue now to excerpt 34
אין בידי אדם לתקן את המחשבה
אלא
רק הלב יש לכוון שליבו יהיה ישר
One cannot correct one's thoughts, but should only aim the heart. Make one's heart straight to the Creator. Then all of his thoughts and actions will naturally be to bestow contentment upon his Maker. And when he corrects his heart to have a heart and desire of Kedusha, the heart will then be the kli in which to place the upper light. And when the upper light shines in the heart will strengthen, and he will add and supplement continuously. Now we can interpret our sage's words. Great is the study that yields action. It means that through the light of the Torah, he is led into action, as the light in it reforms it. This is called an act. This means that the light of the Torah builds a new structure in his heart. Thus, the previous guf, which came to him from the serpent's skin, has been separated from him, and he has been awarded a sacred guf, the inner guf, called the Nogashil, which was half good, half bad, has become all good. And now the Naran is in it, which he attains through his actions, as he adds and supplements. Before he is awarded a new structure, although he tries to cleanse his heart, the heart is still unchanged. In that state, it is considered that he is in the form of that fulfill his word. Yet, we must know that the beginning of the work is specifically in the form of that fulfill his word. But this is not completeness, since he cannot cleanse his thoughts in that state, since he cannot be saved from thoughts of transgression. As his heart is of a guf of klipa, and one thinks only from the thoughts in one's heart, rather only the light in it reforms it. At this time, the separating guf departs from him, and the inner guf, the noga shell, which was half bad, becomes all good. In that state, the Torah brings one into action through the making of a new structure, and this is called an act.